Hello, and welcome to the Alloy Personal Training Business Podcast, a show for people who want to take their personal training businesses and fitness coaching skills to the next level. Team Alloy has been in the personal training business since 1992 and share their insights from working with businesses and brands around the world. Listen in for secrets and tips on running a successful fitness business, from personal training, marketing, staff management, scaling your business, and everything in between. If you are interested in having your own personal training business, our systems are well developed, and we are focusing on very discrete segments which we think are the secrets to success. Now, let's get started with our host.
Natalie, what's up?
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Hey, great. Good. Listen, finally glad to have you on here after all this time.
Thank you.
So for those of you guys that don't know Natalie, yeah, right. Exactly, right? She was nervous, which is weird, but she doesn't have to be. She's really smart. She's very well spoken, and she's a rock star. She's been here. How long have you been here?
About 15.
Have you really?
Long years. Right.
Goes by fast, though,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Had two kids here.
Did you? Like right here?
Well, close.
Right. Well, that, I didn't know that, actually.
Well, I mean, I was
birthed
pregnant.
Two babies
right.
Here?
I came when my oldest, which is 15, when she was one. So I've been here.
Oh, my gosh. It's so weird. So you remember how small my kids were when you came here,
yeah,
too?
They were my kids' age, yeah.
Yeah, it's right so crazy. So crazy. Yeah. Well, we appreciate you. But for those of you guys that don't know who Natalie is, she's a registered licensed dietitian as well as an amazing coach. And so... And she's really smart. She always is taking, you know, continuing education, really interested in her craft and improving what she does. Mm-hmm. And so today I'm super psyched to have her on to talk about something that we talk about a lot, which is what's better for fat loss. I mean, what percentage of our clients, we'll start with this, what percentage of our clients do you think come in here with at least a secondary goal of fat loss?
Oh, 99.
Yeah, right.
Most. Yeah. Most. Yeah. Even if they won't tell you, most of them are, especially the ladies, for sure.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So it's at least a secondary goal of fat loss. And so it's our job to figure out, obviously, if we don't address that goal or get them to that goal, we're going to lose them, right? Yeah. We're not doing our job. And so, you know, then it becomes the dilemma how to lose weight. And I think, obviously, coming from a dietitian, nutrition is important. Mm-hmm. We know that. Mm-hmm. But let's, for sake of today, because I swear we could probably break this up into a 10-part series, right?
Sure.
Which we may do, actually.
Yep.
Exercise. Let's just talk about that in general, what you've seen, and obviously you've studied hormones and everything else and how it's related to different types of exercise. But we typically see what I think most coaches and trainers see, which is when people are thinking fat loss, they usually think cardio first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm going to do a bunch of cardio because it burns a lot of calories, I get hot and sweaty, and I'm going to lose weight.
Right.
And so we lean maybe more towards strength training, but that's a discussion today. What's better for fat loss, strength training or cardio, or a combination of both? And if there is a combination, what should they be doing?
Well, I came to Alloy 15 years ago. I was running 7 days plus a week because I thought,
know that.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was just, that's just what I did. I have a lot of sisters and we just did that for fun. And that's just what we did. That's all we knew.
So they run as well?
Oh, yeah. Still do. Yeah, and we still run on vacations. That's us. So,
also fun fact: Natalie's a triplet,
right? Yep,
and she is very competitive with her sisters.
Well, the older we get, not so much. Well, we just don't speak about it, but we do.
it's still there. Yeah. We're not as open about it, but they won't beat me ever.
Ever, I can lift more than them always. But no, at the end of the day,
came from running,
and just thought that was the way that, you know, we all should do. And, you know, coming into this before knowing about what we do or just training in general and just educating myself about, you know, and then seeing results of just working out here, that's where I thought it was at. And a lot of women come to us in that same boat, you know, not knowing. And or they're thinking, if I just add on doing what strength training in here with my running and biking and everything else that they do, that they will see results. But at the end of the day, more is not necessarily better. And what I mean by that is what I found for me and then a lot of the women that I work with over the years, that if we can get them to, you know, to doing more of the strength training, less of the running, they'll feel better, they'll see better results sooner, and long term, they'll be able to keep up with it. And it helps them with their running if they're doing that. But, you know, at the end of the day, usually 2 or 3 days is where I'm at. Sometimes I'll throw in a fourth workout of strength training, but I'd rather, much rather, and I've seen a lot more progress through strength training heavy and then backing off of the cardio, as much as I love it, you know, because you and I talk about this.
Let me stop you there, because I think that's maybe something, you know, when we look at it through the lens of business, is you like it. So you like cardio.
Sure. Yeah.
Stress. We talked about running. You like to trail run. It's stress relief. It's just like high heart rate, all the maybe runner's high. Like once you finally, you know, get past the point where running doesn't suck, you know, you can get like a runner's high at some point. But there's also, I think, just that emotional attachment for a lot of our clients, certainly to running. Mm-hmm. And I know you and I, you know, the reason I wanted to have you on is because you're going through some stuff now where you're always experimenting. That's one thing I appreciate about you. As long as you've been in the game and as much as you know, you're still willing to try new things and see how your body responds, right? And currently you're like, hey, I mean, you've always been in great shape. Like, I've never seen you out of shape as long as I've known you ever, even when you were pregnant and came back. But right now you're like, all right, I want to get like, I mean, as you know, that last little bit is really hard to get. And you're pushing for that.
Yeah.
And your strategy has been to cut back on cardio, which for you like. So you're kind of foregoing something that you really enjoy for the bigger goal of leanness or through the lens of our clients, fat loss, right? Yeah. So what has that been like? I mean, A, what are you doing? You told me a little bit, but like specifically, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And then like, what does it feel like emotionally? How hard is it to give up like what you're stuck to, that cardio?
Well, for me, not to do something every day, hard, because I have three.
So you're taking
I have, have a 15, a 13, and 10-year-old. So for me, I love to get out and I need to get out of the house, that kind of thing. So what I've done is I've actually, instead of running 5 or more days a week, and then I bike too. So instead of doing all of that, what I've had to do is scale back. I've increased my strength training, so lifting heavy 4 days a week. And I've been doing that now for almost 6 months, give or take. And, I've picked up at least 2 pounds or more of pure muscle. My body fat has actually stayed the same, which is a win, mid-40s. So, trying not to gain body fat while, trying to do less cardio, mentally hard. We all know that we should be doing that, but mentally that was hard for me. But for now, I've backed off. I have 2 days of rest days, and during my rest days, I have a dog, so we will walk. I don't even run anymore. I used to just be like, well, I'm out here with him, I might as well run. Don't even do that anymore, just because I found that when I was running and doing that, even on my rest days, running and moving faster than I should, that sleep was off still. I mean, I'm still wanting to eat the house and then some. So just for me, it's been, my hormones are happier and I'm a better mom, just a better human being, really, just calming it down a notch and knowing that I've got 4 days of like heavy lifting, strong lifting. And then on the weekends, I will pick back up and I'll do less strength training. And then I've been biking. Actually, the running, I'm just trying to back off my joints. Everything was just killing me. So
Oh, I didn't know that.
I just got too tired. Like everything got too tired and probably had a lot of inflammation and things like that. And they're just not stopping. So I've just changed up my cardio piece. So I'm still getting it on the bike, but I go slower.
Right.
I'm not trying to kill it. With running, I'm always killing it. But with biking, it's more of just enjoyment. Like we said, free therapy, that kind of thing, just getting out in nature. So I've been doing that. But 2 off days for sure, throw on my strength training and then just slowing down,
And are you doing going. Okay with it mentally?
Yeah, because I see results.
Right.
I've seen results.
And the results that you've had have been what you wanted, right?
Yes. See if I can drop my body fat a little. It's kind of hanging out where it was, but it's not getting any more, but I picked up muscle. So
for those of you guys that don't, I mean, Natalie doesn't have much body fat to start with. So you're not typical of what we see as a client coming in. Every now and then we get people really fit, but most people do want to lose weight. And what they mean by that is they want to lose body fat. Mm-hmm. So I think if, adding a little lean tissue while cutting back on your activity without gaining body fat, based on where you are in your fitness journey, is a win, like you said.
Oh, right? Yeah. And it's, my sleep is better. There's other things that I'm doing that help me. I'm making sure that I go to bed on earlier than I used to be, that kind of thing. Making sure that I'm getting, ideally it would be 8, but I'm getting at minimum 7 now. So that's huge, huge win for all the above.
What were you getting before?
6.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah.
So now I just, kids had to put themselves
You listen to that podcast, right? From Matthew Walker.
Yeah, it's
on
huge.
Joe Rogan. Wasn't
and
that great?
Really, we should be getting 8 or more, ideally. But I mean, on Sundays, I will. It's not Saturday night, Sunday.
If I get 7, I'm psyched.
Yeah.
That's about all I can do.
Yeah, it's huge. But it's huge for recovery. And so at the end of the day, what I've learned over the past 6 months is keep the strength training and go heavy. Don't work out it. Don't do it every day.
Wait, before you go any further,
what?
Keep those points. Strength training, heavy. What would you tell someone, especially female, that's scared to lift heavy weight? Like, I'm going to get too big.
Oh, no. I mean,
you just say say that like everybody knows. You're like, psh, no, of course not. But I mean, we joke about it. We've known forever.
For sure. Right. But I'd say at the end of the day, I mean, through all this, I've been able to eat more, stay lean, pick up muscle, but, you know, and sleep more, sleep better, you know, and just continue to move. You can walk. That's okay. You know, I think that you get to a point where it's okay to recover. Ideally, I should have. And usually, and the reason why, usually there's one day that the kids there's something going on. So I'm going to do nothing other than walk my dog. So that's okay. But usually there's a couple days of that. But it's just sleeping better. I don't know where I was going with that. Oh, I'm lifting heavier. And then my cardio, I've brought that down, cut it in half probably. And then I'm just walking outside of that and just trying to sleep and enjoy and just, you know, take care of me. So I do other things that will mentally make me feel better, meaning, you know, we talked about this, meditating and journaling and just different things getting out. Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah. I tried. I would love to every day, but usually on the weekends.
What's that look like? Like, what do you do to meditate?
I just have a little app I turn on.
So you do like sit like lotus style on the floor? And
actually, I will lay on my bed. So if I fall asleep, it's a win. Yeah.
You just lie there like.
And then sometimes I'll take a nap.
I'm just trying to get a visual.
Well, it's hard for me to.
So you're napping because that's different.
No.
Okay.
But if I fall asleep, it's okay.
Right. Well, then if that's the case, I meditate on the weekends as well.
It just helps. Anything to help calm my mind just because I'm a busybody and that kind of thing. So if I can't do that through running and all that good stuff, then there's got to be an outlet for me. And my outlet is, and as silly as it sounds, really just trying to calm my mind and my thoughts and everything that goes on. That's a way. And I use the guided one. One day I'll grow up and I'll do
something like that.
No, I like a Insight Timer.
Okay, cool.
Free app. Yeah, it's good. They have whatever you're in the mood for. You can find a meditation for that or just one that's guided towards that.
Are they talking you through it?
Yes. You can do guided and then some don't talk. Okay, I'm just not like there yet.
Whale sounds or something.
I'm not there yet.
Right. Okay. Need someone to be like, relax,
tell me
Natalie.
What to do.
Relax, Natalie. Empty your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be hard for you.
You know, it helps. And if you for me, I just need, I think it's important to calm some of that down. And that's just, it's like a walk for somebody or somebody can listen to music. Sometimes I just need other things. And that's where meditation came in, that kind of thing.
Well, as hard as this has been for you. So if we're talking to clients, as an example, right? And they come in and it always, this is just the American way or maybe just human nature is like more is better. Mm. And when we did a podcast on HIIT training, we did it more through the lens of your business. But I talked about how we had a client here and you would know her if I mentioned her name. And she is doing like 3 days a week of strength training and was doing great. And her body fat had gone down. She was feeling really good. She played a little bit of tennis. Mm. And then, of course, great results, very motivated. That means I'm going to do more. And she started spinning 3 days a week and adding all of these different activities. And her inflammation went up. She was sore a lot. Her back was hurting. She's sitting in a bent over cycling position 3 days a week. And she had come in with some back problems to start with, right? And then lo and behold, like a month later, her body fat had gone up and her weight had gone up.
Sure.
And she was like freaking out because in her mind, she was doing more, which should result in more results.
Yeah.
And for her, her only result was to look great and feel better, right? And it was actually working against her.
Sure.
So I think a lot of our clients don't understand that, right? Like, I think most people need to move more. We can leave it at that. But once we get beyond that basic premise, what do you think is the ideal prescription for someone, you know, for fat loss?
Right.
And sustainable fat loss. If I was a brand new, you know, female sitting down with you and I'm 45 years old and, you know, I'm kind of active, but I've got my last 20 to lose. What would be your prescription for me?
In an ideal world, I would say at least 3 times a week of strength training.
Okay.
That's just a good average. And then 4 or 5 days a week, if they could walk, just
now, let's,
walk.
Let's stop on strength training for a second, and then we'll do the other one. So when you say strength training, I think there's a lot of ways you can do that. I mean, if you open Instagram, it's like there's 9,000 workouts online. So when you say strength training, you know, there's through our conversations as professionals, it's like there's different types of strength training, right? Like, I could go and do what I would call like a HIIT workout. Like I could go to Orange Theory and run on the treadmill and do a little bit of weights, but that's not what you're talking about because I know that. So define for our listeners, like, what do you mean by strength training?
True strength training.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not talking about the afterburns or the Metcons and that kind of thing. At the end of the day, that's good until it's not. And what I mean by that is most of the time you love it though. That's the thing. It's like my running or what have you, but most of the time you are overdoing everything for a long, you know, period of time, which creates more harm than good. Think hormones don't like it. You're creating more stress than your body needs. Your body doesn't know that stress, that long, hardcore breathing hard, you know, just not great, you know, overall. Mentally, inflammation goes up, your hormones go wacky and all that good stuff. So at the end of the day, it's just doing, you know, basic movements. We're pushing, we're pulling, we're doing knees and we're doing hip type stuff, and we're working some core, keeping it simple, and you're lifting heavy weights. So that's kettlebells, dumbbells, like barbells, different
what
things.
What sets, rep ranges, what are you looking at for?
Typically, I'm somewhere between 5 reps, give or take, to maybe 10 or 12. So not very long, so maybe
no more
three.
Than 10 or 12. Roughly. Typically,
roughly. And, you know, every now and then I'll throw in a little endurance type stuff just because. But at the end of the day, most of the time, if you can get it between, on average, we'll just say 5 to 8, 5 to 10 reps. And depending on how many reps you're doing, say if I'm doing 5 reps, I may do 5 or 6 rounds. If I'm doing 8, 10, or it may be only a few. But you're just going heavy. By the time you get to that last rep, you should be tired. You should feel like you might be able to do 1 to 2 more.
Right. So it's not just 8 reps with like a weight
super
that you
light.
Could do 20
Lord,
with, right?
No. Okay, no, good. You're pushing
so you're working
it.
Hard.
You're working hard. You know, it may take you a warm-up set to figure out where you're at with that weight, but it should be hard. Doable, safe. You know, we don't want to hurt anybody. We want to make sure they pick a heavy weight, but that's safe for them.
Right.
But something that they can do and challenge themselves and be done after that third round or be done after the fourth round.
Right. Leave a rep or two in the tank, but push it.
Maybe,
right?
Yeah.
So your form stays solid.
For sure.
Okay,
yeah.
So I hope everyone heard that it isn't soup cans in the kitchen. It's not super buns, you know, like P90X kind of stuff. It's like true strength training.
Sure.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. So that, now tell me about like other activities. Like I'm that brand new client. So you want me to strength train 3-4 days a week?
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, for me, most of our clients that are coming in are sitting at their desk, you know, for long periods of times and things like that. So walking, always safe. Just good to get outside. If you had to, get on the treadmill, but I love for people to get outside just to kind of clear their head and get, you know, out of their environment.
Mm-hmm.
Good mentally for that, but it's safe for hormones, you know, reduces inflammation, good for, you know, to bring down your blood sugar level, all that good stuff, good for digestion, just to get out and walk. When you're killing it, you're getting out and you're running and things like that, then it's kind of like that afterburn or that Metcon effect. You're just still, you know, really just cranking up your inflammation. You could be throwing off your hormones, throwing off your hunger, and so then that could mess with your nutrition and all that
stuff. Yeah, I mean, that's a great point, too. So I think what we're talking about is, you know, you and I had this conversation the other day. It's like, do your strength training mm-hmm. and just move more. And that move more should be at a very low level. So
sure.
Like a perceived exertion, you'd mentioned to me, like, you should be able to have a conversation while you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be like a walk or like mm-hmm. you were saying, like a bike ride, enjoy whatever you enjoy, you're going to do it more. So find something you like,
right.
Walking your dog,
right.
Whatever that may be. But that's like two ends of the spectrum. One is strength and one is like low level activity,
sure.
Right? I think where most people get stuck is in that no man's land in the middle where they think they're lifting, but they're lifting light loads
mm-hmm.
and then they're getting their heart rate like super high,
mm-hmm.
right? Not real high, like in a true Tabata, like 4 minutes, like I'm going to just really push it for a few minutes.
Right. And be done.
It's more like I'm going to do this for an hour,
mm-hmm.
right? And so,
yeah, I mean, just to make a point about that real
please.
Quick. No, I mean, typically what I'll see is people, especially women, men too, but they will in the beginning, if they've never done that, they'll see a big change, meaning they will lose weight. Now, are they really losing body fat? Or are they really losing muscle?
Yep.
So point number one, they'll do great for a while. Sometimes you will see, they'll be like, this is something different. It's just like if you were not a runner and you start running, you're going to see a lot of good results. Then at the end of the day, your body's like, no, I'm good. You know, this is too much. And then you get a point, you were talking about the person who comes in and the tennis player and all this good stuff. And then she was all injured because she got to a point where more is better. And then you think more is better. And then you got to keep going, keep going, keep going. Then you get hurt. Then your hormones really will take a hit. Then your sleep will be off. And then everything just kind of joints, everything's mad. So it's at the end of the day, you know, in an ideal world, if I'm looking at any client coming in, a few days of strength training, great. And then lifting heavy, some walks in there, just start with that would be ideal.
Move
and work on
more.
Your nutrition.
Yes.
And
yeah.
sleep.
We won't even touch that today,
yeah,
but that's going to be
sleep.
A huge part
right.
of it.
Right. No. And so it's like there's a lot. I would rather them recover and come back all out so they're able to really kill it that next time they're in versus go home and do something else and then come back and be tired and then not be recovered. And then it's just you can't catch up.
In that no man's land that we talked about, I find, and you may agree with this, I'd like to get your opinion, it's like people kind of power down a little bit, right? Just meaning that, Like if you have to sustain that super high heart rate for an hour, you're not going to be able to go all out. No. You just can't. So you're kind of at that weird 80% or something where your heart rate's high, but you can't go all out because you have to survive for 45 straight minutes, right? Do you find that as well when you're doing those type of workouts?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're going to tank at some point, Tom, unless,
yeah, so you're not even putting out like max effort.
No, I mean, you can only go for so long, you know, unless it's some, you know, freak out there. It's hard. It's hard. And then your form goes messy. And then you're, you know, I don't know, a lot of other things. You can get hurt, all this good stuff. So, yeah, very hard to do.
Yeah. And then you've mentioned a couple of times hormones. So, obviously, you know, I said, oh, let's go and talk about hormones. You're like, you know, I know enough to be dangerous, but I'm not a hormone specialist. And I appreciate that. But when you talk about hormones and doing this high level heart rate and how that can sort of throw you off, because obviously cortisol is a stress related hormone, but just touch on that a little bit. Like what happens to your hormones if you're over exercising and not getting enough sleep? You know, what's actually happening there, maybe on the high level basics that can work against you?
Well, your cortisol could go up. So that's increased body fat.
That's your flight or fight, like stress hormone,
Inflammation. Usually you see those people come in and they're, usually you see a lot of belly fat start to occur.
Interesting.
You know, you can just see a lot of extra fat, unwanted fat and things like that. And then you just don't feel good. Your nutrition, meaning your cravings and things like that will be thrown off. You could see blood sugar swings just by, you know, doing too much and things like that as well. So, and then, you know, like what happened to me, because I was running so much and then I was taking care of kids and all that good stuff, is everything just went away. Everything went away, meaning all my hormones just were negative.
And that's just from
testosterone,
overstressing
estrogen, progesterone, overstress, and your body doesn't know one stress another. And then you think, okay, I'll just exercise more, get to my goal, so I'll just do more. And then everything just will one day just say, I'm done. I won't produce anymore. And, you know, being young 40s, you should still have a little bit of hormones in the system. And I had nothing, so, for a long time. So, and then you just don't feel good. You're just not, you know, you're not who you were before, when you had hormones, put it that way.
Well, and it's what's funny, and what I'm hearing you saying that I don't think you and I have even talked about it, but it's like the best way to lose body fat or to get in shape, like again, through the lens of a client's goals, it's like you have to create the right environment for fat loss, right?
Sure.
And that environment includes getting sleep. Well, obviously, nutrition's a huge part of it, but getting sleep, not over-exercising, right? Moving more. Doing strength, because a lot of people don't do that. So getting your lean tissue up. Would you agree with that? Is that what you're trying to do with clients, to sort of holistically treat the overall lifestyle?
Yeah, you better believe it. I mean, it's not just what are you doing exercise-wise? It's everything else, because it's all connected. Your body's, you know, everything's connected. So just think environment. So what is it like at home? What is it like at work? We talk about how's your water? Definitely how's your nutrition, protein? More or less is the biggie. And then, like I said, what are you doing exercise-wise here and when you're at home? You know, pretty simple. And are you, you know, if they're working out with me, they're lifting heavy. So they don't have a choice.
Come to Alloy, see Natalie. That's all you need to know. But there's a friend of mine in the industry, Allie Gilbert, you might've heard of her. And she does a lot of hormone profiling for guys. And she's like out of Greenwich, Connecticut. So a lot of her clients are hard charging, like executives that are working on Wall Street. And, you know, they've got this type A personality, similar to what you were saying you have. And mine's always busy. And it's always go, go, go. And it's like, I'm going to eat this super low carb protein diet because that's what I've heard is good. I read it in a Men's Health, right? I'm going to be running all the time, doing all these HIIT workouts. And she sees their hormone profile and it's terrible.
Yeah.
They've just wrecked themselves through like caffeine, no sleep, high stress.
No carbs.
No carbs, too much exercise, right? And they're like, I don't feel like myself anymore. And she's like, here's an idea. Cut out all your exercise. Go lift 3 days a week. Eat a pizza twice a week to try to get, you know, just get your metabolism. Yeah, refuel yourself. Get yourself back to normal. And lo and behold, they do that. And their lean tissue goes up. Their body fat goes down. And they're doing less, right? And they just feel better. Like they're like normal humans now, finally.
Yeah.
Right? So it's the same kind of thing, I think, for guys. We just typically see it more from females, especially the, for whatever reason, that weird mentality of being stuck to like cardio.
More.
Yeah, and burn more. And there's so many, like, I think it's a disservice to our industry. And I know it's a popular business model. And I get it. I mean, it's a business podcast, right? But, you know, if your whole franchise is based on how many calories you burn during your workout and not looking at someone's overall environment for fat loss, I think it's really short-sighted.
I agree. Remember, we used to be that way. We used to have our, you know, I don't know if I can say that.
Heart rate monitors. Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And it flew. Like, we were like, this is great. You know, we can see how many calories. And we thought what more was better. And we would push people to their max. And then they would stay after. for the next hour and so on, just so they could see that number. And, you know, I mean, with every new watch you get and everything else, you're supposed to track everything. So I think people in their mind, it's just a vicious cycle. And it's hard to talk them off the ledge. I mean, yeah, it's not easy.
It was weird. We almost created an environment that drove this wacky behavior. Like we would have, because I think we all agreed that we still had the same formula, do some weights, do some cardio or whatever. But like while you're in here, work hard. And, you know, it was a popular thing to do. A lot of top fitness franchises are based on heart rate and with 1,000 calories an hour, blah, blah, blah. We know scientifically that's the wrong message, but we, you know, inadvertently kind of leaned into that a little bit. And just by introducing a measurement for calorie burn or effort, it drove like wacky behavior. I mean, I know you can remember like clients would come in to do strength training, which is we saying is like the number one, you know, thing to do. And then they would forego that and just do almost like a private step aerobics routine with headphones on while looking at the leaderboard for how many, you know, calories they had burned. It's right. Like, what are we doing?
No, and you know? I'm glad we got rid of it. And to be honest with you, like, because I've been here through before we had that, when we had that, and then after we had that, more people look the same. All, well, at least, you know, I mean, men and women, but yeah, I'm geared more towards the women, look the same, if not gain more weight because of that.
Right,
and they
gain
more fat. Yeah. And they are like, well, what? So I'll just come to 2 days, or I'll just come in, you know, every day of the week, 6 days a week.
Because
I'll
have
open.
To win this challenge and get the most points, right?
And you're like, but we're not seeing any change. So it is, it's just a hard, you know, and it's, I mean, even now it's not easy to talk people out of that just because it's so in your face.
Yes.
And more is better, and they see something or read something, and what do we know?
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't know. We've only been doing it for 28 years. Right.
You know,
well,
you're not doing it.
That's the funny thing. Yeah. And so when I really knew that it might be time to move away from heart rate was when we were at a meeting for our team. And I'm like, who's using heart rate monitors right now? And no one in the room's doing it. They're like, I hate it. And I'm like, well, you pair that with the evidence that we have from like Fitbit and all these other wearables. And on average, people that have wearables gain weight because they overestimate how many calories they burn. And it's like this risk, it's like this work rewards relationship where, sweet, I ran for an hour, I crushed myself. Now my knee hurts, but you know what? I'm going to go out tonight and have four margaritas and pound a bunch of Mexican food.
Right.
It's like, okay, but that's kind of like defeating the purpose. And you can never, it's really hard to eat right up to your energy needs without overshooting. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times, and I don't know if you've done a marathon, I've done a marathon before, and I've had clients that have done them, and everyone that trains for a marathon gains weight, which you think is crazy because it's like, well, you're burning all these calories. I'm like, yeah, but you have to fuel that training, and fueling it right up to what you need without overshooting is almost impossible. Because
well,
you get
and
these
you need
wild
it and, right.
blood sugar swings,
well, there's
right?
a lot of stuff going on there. I mean, it's you're just thinking about water, sodium, carbs, I mean, all this stuff. So long-term, not good if that's what your goal is, ultimately fat loss. I mean, it's like two different animals. If you want to train for a marathon, or if you want to ultra train, it's completely different. If you want to strength train and you want to gain the lean muscle, strength training is where it's at for sure.
Yeah.
And just two completely different
if you want to look and feel pictures, good, strength training. If
amen. You wanna, and you want to do it forever. And my goal, what I figured out, it took me 45 years, but it's to... I want to be able to work out forever, and I want to be able to run with my kids if they want to go run, but I don't want to kill it, and I don't want to hurt, you know, or at least minimize that as much as possible. And for me, cross-training, doing different things, slowing it down a bit, walking more than running, biking, throwing in some slow-go stuff and things like that, and then just keeping the strength training up has worked to my advantage, at least over this, you know, few years.
You think we're going to be able to get, I mean, obviously this is our brand message now moving forward, because this is what we know and we live it and we do this personally and we believe in it. And we've seen, we have 60,000 sessions through this place, you know, it's like we've seen it with our clients. How long do you think it's going to take the general public to catch up to this? Mm. I mean, because you still have brands out there pandering to that human need to like crush myself into dust as burn as many calories as possible.
Yeah, it may be a few years. I don't know. It may be longer than that. Who knows? But I think over time when, I mean, people, I think we're kind of at that point, you know, it just so happened that we're in COVID, so we don't have a choice to do his classes. So maybe they see that their gym is having to do more strength training just by, because we have to, because maybe they'll start to see results and maybe, you know, maybe these next few years, maybe it'd be sooner than we think. Who knows?
But yeah, I hope science will catch up. You know, it's like there's so much clickbait type of stuff like, oh, burn 1,000 calories an hour. It's like, oh, I'll click on that. It just kind of, I mean, I think it's our job, really. I mean, we're somewhat leaders in the industry. We've been at it for a long time to educate people, right?
Yeah.
This is not the way to go about it.
Right.
And it's one thing to educate the industry and tell other coaches about it, right? And they kind of doing their own research and coming to these same conclusions. Mm-hmm. But it's much more difficult to educate the general public, who is, again, the human nature is to do more is better. And certainly there's brands out there pandering to that, but sure. But I think we're doing the right thing, and we know what the results are. And none of us that are in the brand that are in great shape for our age, you know, whatever that mm-hmm. means, mm-hmm. we don't do it that way.
No.
And we joked about Matt and I, when we did the Hit podcast, like Marky Mark, right? Mm-hmm. He's bought into a Hit franchise, and he's like posting up and he's saying, you know, he's naming this Hit franchise. Well, he owns part of it. But I know his strength coach, and he does bodybuilding training every day. He doesn't do those workouts at all.
Right.
He might do it once a week, but
right.
just traditional strength training, right? Yep. And people see him and they're like, wow, he's 50. He looks amazing. I want to look like him.
Right.
Well, then don't do the workouts that he's telling you no. to do, because that's right. not what he does to no. get there, right?
Yeah.
Eats well and does bodybuilding training.
Yeah.
Or strength training, essentially, right?
Yeah. It's, yeah, not
Same
good.
Same thing with J-Lo and everyone yeah. else,
no,
right?
Yeah. Right. They're lifting heavy.
Or Instagram, yeah. like you, sure. you log on and there's some beautiful body there, man or woman, and they're doing some, you know, 400 burpees in an hour. That's not what they do.
To get to where they're at.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. And so they might be getting paid.
They need to dig a little deeper. I just say, do your research.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just because it sounds good or your bestie's doing or what have you, most of the time it's not. Not going
to
happen.
Well, it's like, if a client comes to us and there's a yoga teacher out there who just looks amazing, right? And this yoga teacher has like a big butt or something, and that was their goal, is to make their butt bigger. Well, whatever, it's like a thing, I guess, now. Butts are a thing. Natalie's like, all right. But this person has one. Well, you and I both know yoga is not going to give you a bigger butt,
no.
right? But the misconception is that, like, well, she has a big butt. She mm-hmm. does yoga. I'm like, yeah, she picked her parents better
right.
than you did.
Right.
And it's not from yoga.
Right. right?
So I think it's easy for consumers to get it twisted a little bit.
For sure.
Our clients, but I think it's our job to educate them. So,
yeah.
Well, I think we leave it at that. We could run down a bunch of rabbit holes, but
yep.
thanks for sharing. And it's cool that you're, you know, still learning and growing in your own fitness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're like a consumer of your own advice, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah.
Which is awesome. And I appreciate what you do for the clients.
Well,
and
thank
we'll
you.
Get you back on and we'll talk about some things that are certainly in your wheelhouse, which is more nutrition.
Perfect. All right.
Thanks, Nat.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Alloy Personal Training Business Podcast. If you have any questions for the host or are interested in learning more about running a successful personal training business of your own, please reach out and say hello. Connect with us at www.alloypersonaltraining.com and sign up for our free newsletter to receive additional resources.